1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Peter writes, "Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." As we come to this passage, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we start with the word slaves, and we all kind of, I think, say, that's not us. Lord, all Scripture is given for teaching, for learning. So Lord, may these verses, may we be able to apply them to ourselves. Lord, help each one of us hear what your Spirit would have us to hear this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We began our study of 1 Peter way back October 17th. 2021. As you might remember, Peter began his letter to Christians by reminding them of their heavenly privileges. Christians are children of God. Christians are living stones building up a temple. Christians are citizens of God's kingdom and priests in God's temple. Peter kind of summarized it this way in chapter 2, verse 9, where he wrote, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Because of their citizenship, because of their family membership, Peter wrote that Christians should walk in hope and in holiness. But Christians aren't to be so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. Until God calls them home, Christians still have responsibilities on earth as well. Christians are free in Christ. Romans 8:2 says, Christians are free from the bondage of sin. But Christian freedom does not mean being free to do as each one pleases. It means being free to do as a Christian ought to do. So beginning with verse 11 of chapter 2, Peter turned from the theological to the application. How Christians, as he called them, aliens and strangers, can live godly lives and be witnesses to those around them. The central part of Peter and Peter's letter emphasizes submission in the life of a believer. Submission doesn't mean slavery. It doesn't mean suppression, but rather to order oneself or to be willing or to willingly place oneself under another. The last time we looked at 1 Peter, the apostle urged believers to submit as good citizens to those who were in authority over them, to presidents, governors, and mayors, and so on. Although they are not ultimately under human authority, God expects believers to submit to the human institutions he has created. God wants his children to demonstrate godly character qualities and a genuine concern for society. A concern that seeks peace, desires to prevent trouble and crime. Throughout the Old Testament, Christians are admonished to be good and useful citizens of the country in which they live. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 21, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." With that in mind, Christians should obey all the laws and respect all authority, unless called upon to do something God forbids or not do something he commands. In today's scripture, Peter addressed those believers who are slaves. Although I sometimes think we may feel like slaves at work or at home, we know that slavery is illegal in the United States. For that matter, first century slavery was not the same as the slavery that led to the Civil War in 1861. A historian named Scott Barchi wrote, "The central features that distinguish first century slavery from that later practiced in the New World are the following. Racial factors played no role. Education was greatly encouraged. Some slaves were better educated than their owners. And education enhanced a slave's value. Many slaves carried out sensitive and highly responsible social functions. Slaves could own property, including other slaves. Their religious and cultural traditions were the same as those of the freeborn. No laws prohibited public assembly of slaves. And perhaps above all, the majority of urban and domestic slaves could legitimately anticipate being emancipated by the age of 30. It's a different kind of slavery. Some translations of verse 8 use the word servant instead of slave. Regardless of the English choice, the Greek word that Peter used means house servant. In the Roman culture of the first century, slaves or house servants didn't just do the menial tasks. Slaves were doctors and teachers, musicians and actors, secretaries and stewards. Most of the work done in Rome was by slaves. People would even sell themselves into slavery so they could be guaranteed of a job, an advancement, or even an education. If you think about it, there's a lot of verses addressed to slaves or servants in the New Testament. These verses did not seek to start a rebellion of slaves, but focused on making sure that the attitudes of Christian slaves were what Christians should have. A quick aside, we know by looking back at history, it was the biblical attitudes of love, compassion, treating others as you'd like to be treated that eventually led to the downfall of slavery. It's Christianity that was the downfall of slavery. Countries that don't have Christianity, like in the Middle East and in Africa, still have slavery, as we think about slavery in the 1800s. Because of the fairly large number of verses addressed to slaves, it seems that in the beginning, slaves probably made up the majority of the Gentile church. There might have been times, in fact, in the church when servants or slaves would be in position of authority over their masters. And then everybody would go home, and the roles would be reversed. And if people weren't careful, this definitely would lead to problems in the church and at home. In today's scripture, Peter moved from politics to work and commanded believers who are servants or slaves to submit to their masters. In a broader sense, that may be applying it to us today, Christian employees are to submit to their employers. When Peter wrote, "Slaves, submit yourself to your masters," he wrote it as a command. To submit is a command. This submission is to be given with all respect. That is, without bitterness, without any negativity, if you please. This attitude of submission was to be given to those who are good and considerate, but also to those that are harsh. Paul wrote also about slaves and slavery. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Paul writes, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord and not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he's a slave or free." Christian slaves, Christian employees are submit to their employers. They are to respect and obey and work as if they were serving Jesus Christ. Again, in our day, maybe put submit to your boss as you submit to Jesus Christ. Peter commanded the worker to be submissive, but he also wanted the Christian to know why he should submit. The first reason to submit was to please God. To please God. Sometimes a Christian employee may be wrong for doing good as a Christian by an unbelieving co-worker or boss, sometimes even by another Christian. With that in mind, Peter wrote, "For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God." Later he wrote, "It is commendable before God." That is, God was and is pleased when a slave in Peter's day patiently endures brutal treatment for being a Christian, or when a modern-day Christian employee doesn't retaliate against an unkind or an unjust supervisor. Paul wrote in verse 20, that anyone can take it or should take it. If he's done wrong, and deserves to be punished. But it takes a Christian to take it patiently when he is in the right. The reason to submit is that it pleases God. And we know that it will also help us to grow as Christians. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. A familiar couple of verses here. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. James writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I mean, we're not going to go jumping around because we're being persecuted, because we're going through hard times. But we can have a peace inside of us that we know that God has it under control and that God can use it to help us grow as Christians, to be a better Christian today than we were last year at this time. That's the joy he's talking about. Not to be a crazy person laughing because I broke my arm, or a crazy person because I'm being persecuted, but a joy that it can be a testimony for God, an inner peace that God can use this to grow me. Rather than being short-sighted, the believer can look forward to the end result, the maturity that this will cause. The slaves in Peter's day didn't have all the governmental regulation protections that we as employees have today, especially here in the United States. All they could do was endure the difficulties and bring glory to God through their witness. Peter wrote, "For this you were called." The believer is called to be a witness wherever he is, including at work. Colossians 1:3, verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is part of being a witness to all the nations, is to be a witness at work to those around us. Just as in Peter's day, in our age, there's a right way and a wrong way to respond to suffering as a Christian in the workplace. It's important to God and his kingdom that first and foremost, a Christian display a faithful and a true witness, that a believer's life is marked by truth and integrity, not by greed and lying and a what's in it for me attitude. Then we can be a witness for God, and we can please God at the same time. The second reason Peter gave for a Christian being submissive in the workplace is Jesus' example, both in his life and in his death. Kind of goes back to the phrase we've seen before. We can kind of ask, what would Jesus do in my place? Peter used Jesus' life as an example of how to respond to suffering. As you read through the four Gospels, we see that Jesus did nothing wrong. He said nothing wrong. But throughout his life, he was continually being persecuted by those around him. As God, he obviously had the power to retaliate or get even. But in order to glorify God, in order to carry out God's will, Jesus took the insults and the jeers, even to the point of being spit upon, beaten, nailed to a cross. He didn't make any threats. He didn't call down angels to defend himself. Jesus kind of fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy found in Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Instead, as he hung on the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Jesus' response was to trust in God and to look to the joy ahead. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, beginning of verse 2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He didn't have joy because of the cross. He didn't have joy because of the shame that he was experiencing. He had joy because he knew the rest of the story. He knew where he was going to spend eternity. He knew that because of what he went through, others, us, were going to have an opportunity to become Christians and spend eternity with him. That's the joy he had, the rest of the story. In the midst of our persecutions, our difficult times, whatever they may be, we can have joy because God's got it under control. And the end result is eternity with God in heaven forever. Hearing the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We need to look ahead. Jesus knew that God would judge him fairly. God would prove him innocent and raise Jesus to the high position that he had to set beside God the Father. We aren't, as Christians, we're not sinless, but we're righteous in Christ. And we have the promise of God's vindication for each one of us as well, just as Jesus did. Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' said the Lord." As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the seemingly immense suffering that believers experience in this life shrinks to nothing compared to the glory in the life to come. Then as Peter is thinking of Jesus' example of submission, the ultimate example was Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus wasn't fighting when they nailed him to the cross. Jesus died as a substitute for every sinner. He didn't die as a martyr. He died as the Savior. Peter wrote, He himself bore our sins. Bore has a word of carrying a massive heavy weight. Jesus carried the massive heavy weight of the sin of the world. The sin that is so heavy that Romans 8:22 says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time because of the sin that the world experiences." Jesus took these sins on himself. He didn't have to. He was without sin. But because of his love for his Father, because of the love that he has for each one of us, Jesus submitted to the Father and suffered the penalty for all the sins of those who had come to believe in him. Jesus submitted. He allowed himself to be nailed to a cross to die in your place. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. He died that we might live. Romans 6 says, "We died with him and we are therefore dead to sin. We were made right in God's eyes. It's as if we'd never sinned." The word we talked about on Sunday school last morning is we were justified because of what Jesus did for us. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Submission in the workplace. To submit is a command. For our day and age, Christians are to submit to their employees as if they were serving Jesus Christ. Reasons to submit. First was to please God and grow. The second was to follow Jesus' example. We see it in Jesus' example in his life. In spite of the persecution and all that he took, Jesus didn't retaliate. In his death, we see it because of love. Jesus submitted to the Father and died for the sins of the world. And third, Jesus' actions right now, today. As he brought this section to a close, Peter once again referred to Isaiah 53. This time to verse 6, he said, Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the Old Testament, the sheep died as a sacrifice for the sins of the shepherd. But at Calvary, the shepherd died for the sheep. Before becoming a Christian, every sinner is like a sheep gone astray, ignorant, lost, wandering, in danger, away from the place of safety, unable to help themselves. We've heard stories about shepherds. A good shepherd go out and search for his lost sheep. We've got time this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, a story about a shepherd. Luke chapter 15. Beginning of verse 1. Luke 15, beginning of verse 1. We read, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be much rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, rather than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." But Jesus did more than just go out and find the sheep. He died for them. But it doesn't stop there. The third reason to submit is what Jesus is doing right now. All who are saved come under the perfect care, come under the protection of the shepherd and the overseer, or as some translate, the bishop, which means one who oversees. Like a shepherd, Jesus watches over Christians, lest they stray and get into sin. Just as an overseer or a bishop watches over the flock of God, that is the church, so the Savior in glory watches over his sheep to protect them and perfect them. Jesus protects and perfects his flock. He helps us grow. He allows the difficult things that come into our lives to help us grow as Christians. So why should the Christian employee submit himself to those over him? Why shouldn't he retaliate and get even? How can he have integrity and strength to do the right thing? Peter says there are several reasons. First, by submitting to God, we please God and we grow. Second, by submitting, we are following Jesus' example. And finally, we can submit because of Jesus' actions right now. He's watching over us as a shepherd, as an overseer, watches over those under his care. He's looking out for the welfare of each sheep, each Christian in his flock. He's with us in the valley of death as well as in the mountaintops of life. We aren't alone as Christians. As Christians, we walk with God. So thinking about this, are you as a Christian known for your work ethic, your kindness, your honesty, your fairness, your patience? Or there's no, or is there no difference between your life and the non-Christians around you? A Christian needs to live respectfully and obediently, because this is how Jesus lived. And this is the kind of behavior God our Father wants from His children. The world is watching you to see if what you say is true. It's easy for any of us to lead a Christian life full of the hope through the Spirit when things are going well. But when things get tough, then what do you do? What does Romans 8:28 say? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? Some of the people that know you best are those who work with you or live with you. What do they see in your lives? When you suffer, even though you did nothing wrong, how do you respond? Do you make plans to get even and retaliate? Or do you pray, Father, forgive them, and then get back to work and do even a better job? Are you the ambassador that God has called you to be? When you stand before God, is He going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Let's pray. Lord, You set some really high standards for us in how we live, but also in how we work. Lord, help us when we're out in the world, not around fellow Christians like we are here, but Lord, help us when we're out in the world with non-Christians, with Satan bombarding us with temptations. Help us, Lord, to submit to You. Help us, Lord, to listen to the Spirit that You've given to us. Help us, Lord, to live the lives You would have us to live, to be the ambassadors, to be the Christian representatives You would have us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.